get into some worship tonight. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you we are in the house of the Lord. We thank you for those that might be watching us. I pray, God, that you bless them where they are, that they hear the word, that they are impacted by the word, that they feel your presence where they are at. We thank you that no matter what time or season we are in, you are still God, and we are thankful. I'm thankful you're a steady hand and a guiding light, God. You're a force, a rock. You're always there, and you never change. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for fixing us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, God, for always being there for us. Bless this word tonight and the music as we go into your presence. Everything that is done, let it be done for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all come on up, Melanie, ask me to help sing, if you would. We're going to sing I Lift Up My Hands, and then Melanie's going to bless you with Peace Speaker after that. So that's why we're here, right, to lift up our hands and to praise the Lord. So let's worship together.
Exalting your name, You captured my heart, now my life has changed. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands.
Something about surrender, isn't it? When we surrender something. When we surrender, we are truly saying, Lord, I give you all that I have. I give you all of me. I think the reason there's so many people that can't break through and they don't fully surrender, they won't truly open up and truly allow God to come in their lives and take away those things that can be removed out of their lives. Let's surrender ourselves and humble ourselves. Let God work in our lives for you. Y'all be seated. I'm going to have now to sing this on peace speaker. Wherever you're battling, God is still the peace of our lives.
Shining bright, the gentle winds were blowing my way, not a storm cloud inside. Then suddenly, without warning, a storm surrounded my life. But even in the storm, I could feel the calm, and here's the reason why. I know the peace speaker. I know him. Never been another man with the power of this friend. By simply saying, peace be still, he can calm the strongest wind. And that's why I know the Yes, I know him by name.
First time she's ever sung that song with me. So if you will welcome our funny, not so funny, Pastor James Lewis.
Excited clap. Thank you, Mr. Randy. All righty. Aren't you glad that you know the peace speaker by name? That no matter what we're going through, we can remain calm, right? As Melanie said on my cruise shirt I was wearing when I was panicking, she kept saying, read your shirt, James. Read your shirt. It said, be calm and cruise on. So that's what we need to do spiritually, right? We need to remain calm and just keep cruising no matter what we're seeing or what we're facing. There's something about the peace God gives you that the world can't take away if it's God's peace. If it's the world's peace, give it to you, it can be taken away very easily. But if you've got God's peace, can't nothing take it away. All righty, let's get into our word tonight. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. As we had the last several Wednesdays, to read these few verses to establish our groundwork for the armor of God. How we must put on the armor of God to defend the attack of the enemy and to walk in the ways the Lord wants us to. Because a lot of things are attacking us. Me and Gordon were talking before service of all the things that come against us and against our minds, against our lives. I mean, the enemy is actively working against us, that is for sure. And we need the armor of God to protect us. All righty, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, take on unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, stand. Be ready. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. We've talked about that. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about that. Had your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We did that last week. And tonight, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When we think shield, we picture something like Captain America. That's what I picture. Captain America, right? He had that big old round shield, and that shield was his weapon. He could do all kinds of things. He'd throw it and make it come back to him. And we think of a shield, we think of a covering that we stand behind that protects us from what's coming at us. You know, face mask. People are wearing, right? Kind of a shield, right? You're wearing that, protecting what's coming at you. So shields are something that God uses in this scripture to point out that we are to always have faith in front of us. Holding faith in front of us. Having faith as the forefront of our walk. That faith goes before us, and the faith that we keep in sight is the faith that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. There are people that we talk to every day, most of us, that are very confused about what truth is. Had a conversation with someone recently about so lost trying to figure out truth, trying to search here for it, find it here, find it here, find it here. I am thankful to know that I have trust in my faith in God, that it grounds me, that the faith I have in God is not up for debate. You don't have to agree with it. Doesn't matter. You don't have to agree with what I believe. Because I know what I believe, and I'm sure in that faith, and I believe and trust in that faith. And so when things come my way, when unbelief comes my way, when doubt comes my way, I throw that shield of faith up and remind the devil of whom I am, whom I serve, whom I believe in, whom saved me. That's what I do. Faith keeps us protected from the wrong voices, from the wrong things coming into our lives. But faith is more than just saying you got it. You know, it's more than George Michael's song, right? You got to have faith, faith, faith. You got to have faith. It's more than a song. It's more than just a nice phrase, right? Faith over fear. I did a title on that one time, a message. It's more than that. Faith must be applied. Faith is an active walk. Faith is believing something when you can't see it. Faith is standing on something when the ground seems to be slipping. Faith is keep moving forward when everybody's telling you to go back. Faith is standing your ground when you're surrounded by your enemy. Faith is action. This is what Paul said in one place when he said, or James said that. He says, you know, faith without works is dead. He didn't mean you couldn't, he knew salvation was by faith alone. But what he was saying was that our faith should be active. He used the example of someone comes to your door and they knock on it and they're hungry. You don't feed them. You just, you know, they come and they're naked, need to be clothed, and you don't clothe them. You send them away the same way they came to your door, hungry and naked. And you just say, I'll be praying for you. What have you really done? You've done nothing. Faith is actions. Faith is putting what you believe into motion that something happens or something changes. Now, faith is something that we can't always see. And that's what drives us crazy because we're beings of feeling. We talked about that last week. We like to feel things. We're wired with sensors. We have pleasure centers all through our body. The different things bring us different pleasures. We like feeling. But faith is not always that way. Faith is trusting God when you can't feel God. Faith is trusting God when you can't see God. Faith is trusting God when you can't hear God. But you know that you know He's there because His Word says it. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, His Word is like a two-edged sword, piercing asunder, right? It comes into our lives and it's active and it does something. Faith is a powerful thing. So He's telling us to hold our shield of faith above all, that we are able to stop and quench the attacks against our lives. Because there are some people that are swayed by everything they read or see or talk to. We should not be that way. We should be anchored in the faith that we believe in, no matter what seasons change. For my parents' generation, they see a different world than what I've seen. I'm seeing a different world than what my kids are seeing. But in every generation, it is faith that is the stabilizing force that keeps us grounded. See, God's not changed because of 2020. God's not changed because the world's a mess. God's not changed because people's lost their minds. God's not changed because church doors are closed a lot of places. God's not changed because there's uncertainty about what's going to happen tomorrow. God's not changed. He is the same. And my faith tells me that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I trust that. Let's look at 1 John 5:4. And then we're going to get into a story about a very familiar story of a man that used his shield of faith to conquer a giant. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says this. For whatsoever is born of God, we're born of God, right? Thank you. One person is here born of God. I know I am born of God. Whoever whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? And this is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Goes on to verse 5. I don't have it up here. It says, who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It is our faith that is stronger than the world. Greater is he, right, that's in me than that which is in the world. That's why we can stand in the midst of a pandemic or an economic collapse or political upheaval or whatever we are battling. We can stand in the very midst of that, and our faith is stronger than what's coming against us. Our faith is stronger than a sickness. Our faith is stronger than a fear. Our faith is stronger than uncertainties. Our faith is stronger than discouragement. Our faith is stronger. Yes, we're in this world, but we are not of this world. We live here, but this is not our home. We were born in this state, but we have a metamorphosis state yet to come that we will evolve into something the fullness of God He's called us to be. So I know that my faith doesn't just forgive me of my sins, but my faith ensures me of a future hope that no pandemic and no amount of fear can ever cast away. That's why I can walk in peace and joy in the midst of sorrow and pain, because of my faith. And my faith is not just words. My faith is who I am in Christ. I must believe that I'm His child no matter what. I must believe He's my God no matter what. I must believe He's ordaining my steps no matter what season I'm in. I've got to believe no matter what's come my way. I have to trust God. This is part of your plans, because you told me in your word that you have great plans for my future. Plans to bless me, not curse me. Plans for an expected end and expected future. I'm part of God's plan. You're part of God's plan. And it takes faith sometimes to believe that, because you want to. I heard it raised the other day. It said, you want to make God laugh, then tell him your plans. Right? You want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I've learned to trust that his plans is the best plan. Door A is God's plan, like a game show, right? Door B is your parents' plan. Door C is your pastor's plan. Door E is your plan. Which one are you going to pick? I promise you, God's plan is the right door every single time. It may not be what we want. It's like we pray for God's will to be done, and then we pray it's really not done, because we don't want God's will done. We want our will done. Lord, I really want this job, but God, I want your will done. And we don't get the job. What's up, God? Would you not listen? Hello, where you at? Do you really want me to be involved in your life? Because I know what you need more than you know what you need. And that takes faith. And this world is full of evilness. We know that. The world is full of pressures. The world is full of battles. The world is full of strongholds. The world is always pulling at you. But be of good cheer, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. See, I serve a king and a father who's elevated far above any natural king or natural father. I serve a king and a father who always has enough for me. I serve a king and a father whose provision is from him. That's why Paul says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Not what happens here, not what my job can give me or what someone else can give me, but what God can give me. God has an endless supply of whatever I need, whatever you need, and that's what I trust, and that's where our faith comes in. We have disappointments. God says it's just not time. We think we have failures, and God says just wait. We think that we have messed up somewhere, and God says, wait till tomorrow. God knows what's going on, and that's whom we should trust. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. We all know this story. We learned it as a child. But it's a powerful story of a man using his shield of faith to overcome a giant. Now, all of us in this room and all of you that are watching, all 3,400 of you that are watching live right now, have a giant in your life. You have a giant. This giant we're talking about tonight is called, of course, Goliath, a Philistine enemy of the people of Israel. And this giant was big, bad, and scary, and he made everybody else afraid. And, you know, giants can be that way, right? Giants can elevate themselves into bullies. But once again, we must put our faith against our giant, and all of a sudden our giant's not so big. So let's read this story of David, who at this point was not king. He was just a shepherd boy. He was the least of Jesse's sons. And he was just a shepherd boy. Verse 19, 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 19. Now Saul and they, King Saul, and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him and came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. They're going at it back and forth. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, ran into the army, and came and saluted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man fled from him and was sore afraid. I want to stop here and talk about the shield of faith. What faith does when we activate it, when we truly walk in faith, is it elevates the size of our God, not the size of our giant. Faith always elevates who God is, your God. You hold the whole world in your hands. We talked last week that not one thing moves without the command of God. Not one bird chirps, not one snake crawls, not one bear hibernates, not one bug flies, not one human wakes up. There's nothing that moves without the command of God. This is the God I serve. Look at creation. That's the God you serve. Look in the sky at night. That's the God you serve. Look at the beach when you're there. That's the God you serve. Look at the Blue Ridge Mountains on an overlook. That's the God you serve. Look at your children. That's the God you serve. When you start letting your faith rise, and your faith is in your God and not the man, whatever that man is, and that could be a whole message there, Goliath versus the man, right? God versus the man. The man could be whatever in your life you're looking at more than God. They were looking at the size of Goliath. Goliath was a big boy. Goliath had ate his Wheaties for a long time. I mean, he was like 9 foot tall, and I don't know how much he weighed, but 9 foot tall. He had to be north of 400. I mean, I don't know. He's a big boy. And he was a seasoned warrior. And he stood out there. He was their champion. He was their Rocky. He was the eye of the tiger. And he is out there, and he's challenging the army of Israel to send them someone to fight them. And they were afraid. When we look at our Goliath, we become afraid. When we look at our troubles, we become afraid. When we look at our fears, we become afraid. When we look at what's in front of us, we become afraid. David said in one place, "Where does my help come from? It cometh from the Lord." That's where our help comes from. So they're all afraid. Verse 25. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this?" And here's what we should be saying, church. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now, this is a kind of unusual. We don't go around saying that word today, right? Uncircumcised heathen. But this goes back to circumcision was a representation and a mark for the people of God. To be circumcised on the eighth day of a child's life was part of the law to mark it as a covenant child. So this uncircumcised heathen, David says, who is this bozo that we're allowing to do this, that he should defy, and I love what he says, the armies of who? The living God. He's saying, guys, come on. Who are we? We are the people of God. We are his chosen people. And you're letting this uncircumcised, non-covenant, not part of the family of God, idealistic, barbaric, worship false gods, heathen, you're letting him tell us what to do. Whenever we serve a living God, because I'm sure David grew up hearing the stories of the forefathers, of how Moses parted a Red Sea, of how 10 plagues came against the people, his ancestors, but not one came nigh their dwelling. I'm sure David heard the story, the death angel coming through the city at night, but seeing the blood on the door and cannot go in because the blood of the door says, no, this one's marked and this one's sealed with my hand. I'm sure David learned those stories. He's like, do you know what our God's done? Have you read the history of Jehovah? Man, I learned Jehovah 101 in third grade. Do you not know what all our God has done? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, how he took us out of 400 years of slavery and bondage, and he gave us our own land. And everywhere our foot stepped, we conquered that city, we conquered that town, we got the spoils, and we moved forward. And there wasn't a person or an army or a king that could stop us in the way, because we were ordained and appointed for a time such as this. Do you remember who we serve? And you're letting this bozo heathen keep you under. In our life today, you're like, well, that's a great story, Pastor, but how does it do with 2020? We've all got a Goliath laughing at us, staring at us, and daring us to stand up. Daring us to move forward. Daring you to say, I'm an overcomer. Daring you to get over your depression and your fear and your stronghold and your addiction and your bondage. And he's daring you to do that. And we must remind him, how dare you stand in the way of my living God? You can't stand in the way of my living God. For my living God is greater than your dead works. My living God is stronger than the Satan that's coming against me. My living God has risen and rose from the dead and rules and reigns forevermore. That's the God that I serve. Hallelujah. If you're at home tonight watching this, you ought to be saying amen. You ought to be shouting where you stand. Glory to God. If you're still sitting down, you ought to be standing up after hearing who your living God is. David was fired up, and here's why David's perception was different. He'd been operating under the shield of faith out in the fields because he had seen God's hand move as the lion and a bear attacked his flock. And the power of God rose up in David to be able to defend and take care of his flock. David's faith was not in the man. David's faith was not in the enemy. David's faith was in his living God. And what was happening, he was hearing these voices of doubt and these voices of negativity and these voices of you can't do it. Remember the old story you learned as a kid? My mom told to me, you probably all heard it, about the little choo-choo train that could or whatever, right? The little caboose that could. I think I can. I think I can. Remember hearing that story, Sarah? I think I can. I think I can. Choo, choo. I think I can. I think I can. And that little caboose struggling and struggling. There's a cartoon about that. And the more he thought he could, the more steam he got built up. And the more forward he went, the stronger he got. And before you know it, he went from being just put to woo, woo, full force. Some of us are in the putt-putt stage right now. We sound like an old Pinto needs a cylinder change. That's how we're moving our lives along. And man, God's wanting you to be a Mustang. Lay it down, that 5.0, and let it roll. 0 to 80 in 3.2. Oh, that was so fun driving Doc's Mustang that time. Oh, I would be dangerous with that much power. Oh. Verse 27. After David said this and challenged him, the people said, after this manner, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. This shall be done. This is what's going to happen. Marry the king's daughter. You'll be rich. Your family will be free. Da, da, da. You'll be blessed. And Eli, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eli's anger was kindled against David and says, why comest thou hither? And when thou hast left those few sheep in the wilderness, I know your pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Aren't you glad he did? Somebody need to step up. And David says, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? I mean, hello. I think I need to be here because, you know, y'all bunch of chickens. Chickens. You're making fun of me. Who'd you leave the sheep with? Who cares? Right now, this is more important. See, we got to understand that instead of sometimes being with the back in the sheep, we need to be doing what God calls to do and leave that and follow him. Verse 30, he turned from him to another and spoke at the same manner, and the people answered him again. So he asked again, they told him the same thing. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now understand, David was not doing this out of youthful arrogance. He was not answering this call out of just youthful pride. He was called inside by God to stand up and do this. He knew something in him rose up. Faith in him rose up to realize God's got a plan to use me in this battle. And I'm going to answer the call because I'm not afraid of this giant, because I know I've seen God watching the sheep. I've heard God. God's visiting me. I know who my God is. I think here's the problem with a lot of people. We don't know who God is. We hear about him, right? Church, God, cross, Bible, blood, yeah, made the world, Noah's Ark, da-da-da-da, yeah, Samson, lion's den. But we don't know him. We know about him, but we don't know him. You know, I know facts about certain people. I know things about certain athletes, certain movie actors, certain singers, right? I know things about them. I know Michael Jordan played for Carolina Tar Heels in the 80s. I know he won a championship in 1982. I know he played for the Bulls. I know he retired 2 years and came back, won 6 championships, three-peat. I know those things about him. I know he wore number 23. I know he moved down from Maryland, I think it was originally. I know things about Michael Jordan, right? I know he's the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. I know things about him, but I sure don't know him. He don't know me. If I call him right now, hey, MJ, you want to go to dinner tonight, man? Got this new place in town I want to try. This is James Lewis. Hello? MJ, James Lewis. He ain't going to know me. I think that's how we are with God. We know about God. We know he created the world. He's big and he's powerful and there's a heaven and da-da-da. But do we know him? The difference is David knew him. David had a relationship with his God. David had seen God use him in battle already as the wolf and the bear and the lion came against the sheep. He had spent time talking to God, hearing from God, answering the call, seeing God move. It's about relationship. Our faith is built on relationship. Our faith is built on knowledge of who someone is. You have faith in someone because you know them. There's people in your life you will trust with very sensitive information because you have faith in them. Why? Because you know them. Ashley knows Nick. She knows Nick. She don't just know about him. She knows him. Knows his heart. Knows his dreams. Knows his personality. Knows his likes. Knows his dislikes. She knows him. I know my wife. Well, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. No husband knows their wife. To the best of a man's knowledge, we know our wives, if you've been married very long. But you know things. When we walk in faith and our faith is elevated and we're letting faith, that shield of faith, go before us and we're trusting God no matter what, we can trust God because we know God. David knew God. That's why he trusted God. Says verse 33, thank you. King Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight, for you are but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." Now, King Saul is doing the right thing here, right? He's really doing the right thing. David, look, you're not qualified. Remember the movie Rudy? The old movie Rudy? Everybody seen Rudy? Makes you cry every time. It's a great movie. A kid who was too short, too slow, too small to play for the great Notre Dame Irish. And he was on the practice squad all 4 years. Finally got to go into a game, I think the last game or last couple of games of his senior season. He got to finally go in. He shouldn't have ever been on the team. He was tough, and he fought, and he fought, and he fought to stay on the team. And he didn't belong, but he had the heart. David had the heart. David could do this because God had called David to do this. And David had God's heart. We look at size of our problems. We look at the size of our situations. And you know what happens? This is what happens. It should be reversed, but here's what most of us, including me, this is what we do. The size of our problem determines the size of our faith. But it should be the other way around, right? It should be the size of our faith is elevated based on the size of our problem. But we get it backwards. When something arises, that's too big. I can't face this, God. This is too much. I can't take this, God. This is overwhelming. It's too big for me, God. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too great for God. There's nothing that overwhelms God. King Saul was telling David, you're not prepared. You're not ready. You're not physically capable of winning this battle. Verse 34, David said to King Saul, your servant. And here he's giving his, you know what David's doing? He's giving his resume, his job application. Here's King while I'm prepared. Here's why I can do it. He said, I was keeping my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. He gave a testimony of what his faith had already accomplished. King, I can do this. Here's what I've already done because of my God. And he gives credit to God here. He does not give credit to himself. The servant that slew both the lion and the bear, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing, and here's where he gives God the credit, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He's not arrogant in himself. He's not saying, I've got this because I'm the man. I am the man. I am the man. And I got this, King. I am David, Jesse's son. Just call me D for short, because I'm going to go out and I'm going to beat that giant's hind end. Just watch. Just get by. He gave credit. Just as I killed the bear, just as I killed the lion, I am going to kill this uncircumcised giant because he's coming against the armies of the living God. Think about that next time a problem arises. This problem doesn't stand against your God. This problem doesn't rise above your God. This problem doesn't expand past the boundaries or borders of your God. It doesn't. No matter what you're facing, it's not larger than who your God is. And we are in a world that is getting less and less announced. And what I think about is, as many churches are closed or many are still very minimum people coming out, that we're going months and months and months of people being detached from the house of God, being detached from hearing the word of God, being detached from the strength and unity that comes in the household and family of God. And we must remind each other continually, no matter what we see or don't see, he is still the God. He is still the living God of my life, the living God of my circumstance, the living God of my problems. Whatever comes against me, my God can handle it. Whatever comes against me, I can turn to my God and I can cry for help, as we read last Sunday, and he will deliver me from my troubles. He will save me from my troubles if I will call unto God. I will not fear, not when I serve a God who's the living God. Then David said in verse 37, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, this giant, this enemy, this stronghold, this foe, this battle. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David had full confidence the battle was won, not because of his ability, but because he had that shield of faith that went before him. Because he was not going to fight Goliath on Goliath's terms. He was not going to suit up in equal battle with Goliath. He was going to let Goliath do it his way, and he was going to do it God's way. And we'll see which way works the best. Full confidence, his shield of faith went before him, saying, no matter what comes against me, my faith in my living God is enough to bring victory. And Saul armed David, so he's trying to suit him up. He armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail. I am so claustrophobic, I would have been terrible in the medieval days. I don't see how they walked around with all that stuff. I would have been freaking out. I'm the one at the dentist that can't be laid all the way back. You've got to elevate me because I freak out laid on my back. I don't like being you in my mouth and me laid flat. The nurses know me. I went last time. I told him, she said, I seen your chart, you need to be elevated. I said, yes, thank you. Just elevate me. I don't want to go psycho on you, so you need to elevate me. And so they keep me up, I'm not all the way on my back where I can't breathe. I don't like that. I couldn't imagine being smothered in a bunch of armor and a helmet and a faceplate and all this stuff. I mean, gracious. I get freaked if I can't get my tie off fast enough. So he put all this stuff on him. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed it. He tested it. He proved it, you know, to see if it'd go, because he hadn't proved it yet, so he tried to do that. And David said to Saul, King Saul, he said, I cannot go with this. And this is a whole message right here in this verse. I cannot go with this, for I have not proved them. But you know what David had been, you know what had been proved to David? His living God. That's been tested. This sword, I don't know about it. This armor, It may go right through me. I don't know. I hadn't moved in it. I've not been in it. I've not ran in it. I've not fought in it. It's not been tested. I don't know if this armor's any good or not. But I know what has been tested. I know what is been proved. I know what is good. So he took the armor and he just put it off. So what did he go with? Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, a humble little sweet shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his script, and his sling was in his hand, and he came to the Philistine. Now I want you to picture this battle. We've got a couple of ex-military people in here. Would you picture this? You got somebody armed in all their garb. They're armed up in their helmet and their gun, and they're fit for battle. And you got somebody walk up to you with a slingshot. That's all they got. That's all that he had. Can you imagine what Goliath must have thought? But David had proved that. He knew God was in the slingshot. He knew God was in this battle. He didn't need all the armor. Verse 41, the Philistine came, drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. There's a natural shield. A guy went before, went in front of Goliath and with a shield. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Well, that's a mistake, right? He cursed him by his gods. So here is this giant who wanted a good, equal battle of respect. And they send this little runny kid out there. He wasn't fully grown. He wasn't shaving yet, probably, with a slingshot. And he's like, "This is what you're sending me. This is the best that you got." I wonder if he was thinking, "Man, y'all are really some cowards that you let this poor kid come out here. When all of you are back here sitting armed and you let this poor kid a slingshot. Well, I must really be intimidating." But not to David. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me. I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David the Philistine, "You come unto me with your sword, with your spear, with your shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Hallelujah. I'm coming against you with the faith of my God that I serve, with the faith of the God I believe in. It is my faith in my Creator that's going to put you down. It's not faith in what I'm wearing, not faith in what I'm carrying, not faith in how I'm dressed. It's my faith in the living God. For I saw a bear and I saw a lion, and you're no different, because my God's the same size, over big, over small, over great, over little. My God's the same. And he knew that. And that's what he came with him, with his faith, with his shield of faith in his God. "This day," David goes on to say, we'll wrap this up just on time. "This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee." I love that Bible word, smite. "And I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel." And all of these people, this assembly, will know it is the Lord that saveth, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Look at your neighbor and say that. The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. And when we let God fight our battles, we see victory after victory after victory. The reason we walk in defeat and misery, we have not let God take the slingshot out of our hands and do what he does best. And that's go before us and say, "How dare you defy me or my child? I am the King and I am the Father of all creation. And you will bow your knee and confess that I am Lord of all." That is what David did. You are going to go down because of my God, not because of me. David had a shield of faith that went before him. And he says in verse 48, "It came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines." I picture the old war movies. Charge! I mean, he didn't back up. He ran toward the giant. He ran toward the battle. He ran toward the storm because God was in it. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag, took a stone, and he slung it and smote the Philistine right in the forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's a shield of faith. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to have that same faith to trust God no matter what we are battling. That this battle is not ours. That we can't even really protect ourselves or heal ourselves, right? It is God that we trust to protect us. It's God we trust to heal us. It's God we trust to deliver us. It's God we trust to go before us. It's God we trust to watch over us. Because the battle is the Lord's. And I trust the battle plan of God much more than my battle plan. That's who I trust. Any comments tonight before we say amen? Praise the Lord. That's a good acronym. Forsaking all, I trust him. On our sign, one side of our sign, I've got that, in God will I trust. As people come down the road to Jennings, I got the other side, I've got, let his word be greater than your worry. And I hope people going down this road are taking time, even subconsciously, those words, they're seeing those words in their eyes and getting their heart, in God will I trust. Let his word be greater than my worry. Think how afraid we would be without this. Thank God I have a God who loves me and will never, ever forsake me. Father, as we close this service, we thank you. We thank you that we have our faith that is alive and real. It's not a myth, God. It's not something that we just heard about. This is a faith that we believe because we have walked in it. God, we have experienced it. We have seen your hand move. We've heard your voice speak. We know, God, who you are. You are our heavenly Father. You are our Redeemer. You are our Shepherd, and I shall not want. God, you are the one that makes all things right. And I thank you. I pray for peace for those in this place, for those that are watching. I pray for peace in the midst of their fear. I pray that they will take their shield of faith and let it go before them, God, and realize no matter what comes against them, it is not greater than you. And we thank you that you are King over all and Lord over all. Thank you for being my Lord and my King. In Jesus' name, amen.